So you'll be in touch with Matthew if we do the Shabbaton April 5th, okay? If we have enough. No, it's not next. It's two Shabbases. Right, not this coming one, the next one, yeah. Okay. Because after Pesach, the guy said it would be too hard. Is that true? After Pesach, would be too hard?
My guys talk a lot.
That's probably
said. It gets easier. I think it's easier.
Yeah?
Life's easier.
It's nicer, more time.
Yeah, Yair said it wouldn't be enough time. It's only 2 weeks, no?
I think about last Shabbos, it's more than
all right, let's talk about it these few days. Okay, I want to start with the story we had at the beginning of Parsha Sav. When it talks about the Mizbeach and the Eish on the Mizbeach, there's a little mem. Did you notice that? Mokta. So the story is told that the Reb Chaim Volozhiner came to the Gaon. His Rebbe was the Gaon. And he came with the idea, he asked the Gaon, he said, Rebbe, I want to start the yeshiva, the Volozhiner yeshiva, which was a restart of the whole, which is a start of the whole yeshiva system, and was the first yeshiva in modern days. Right? They had yeshivas in times of the Gaonim. So the Gaon said, I don't think you should do it. So then the Reb Chaim Volozhiner waited a year, and he asked them again. And the Gaon said, okay, I think you should do it. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, he said, Rebbe, last year I asked you the same question, and he said no to me. So he said, what's different? So the Gaon said like this. He said, last year you were like fire. You were uncontained fire. And I was concerned whether you were really willing and ready for the ongoing oil of burden of running a yeshiva on the 10th time when you have to fundraise. Are you going to do that? Are you going to get burnt out? Or are you going to give up? And I felt last year that it was uncontained. It was all over the place. And I didn't think that you were looking at it on a more intellectual rather than emotional perspective. You were like a huge mem. This year, though, you're like a little mem. This year, I see that you've internalized what it takes. You want to keep it on a Ritzifus basis, daily basis, as Kevin said, Talmud by Seba Boker, and it's a contained flame, but it's still a flame. And it's the little mem. And that's the Eish HaTorah that we need. After Purim, we all had an elevation of Vodas Hashem, Ruchnius, hopefully, Bez Hashem. But it's the ongoing process of the continuation on a daily basis. The notion of having that fire, but a contained fire, where you have dominion over the fire, and you're willing to put in on a daily basis that this is what I have to do to start a new sugya. That's the difference. With the little mem, then you can what? Then you can start the yeshiva. Not with the big mem. You have to have shlita on the kedusha. There's a lot of mussar about that. Let me just give you two quick gemaras. The Gemara in Sukkah, Chav Chesem and Af, the greatest Talmud of Hillel was Rabbi Yonasan ben Azil. Why? When a bird would fly over him when he was learning, he would get burnt up. So the Bali Musar asked, didn't say that about his Rebbe Hillel. Only said it about the Talmud of Rabbi Yonasan ben Azil. What's the Teretz? The Bali Musar said because Hillel was on a higher Madrega, because he had Shlita. He had dominion on his Kedusha. It was a contained Kedusha. You follow me? It wasn't all over the place. All over the place. There's a lot of different connotations. You're not willing to go through the process every day. You just only look for the Nes Nigla, not the Nes Nistar. I'll give you another Gemara I felt that fit in well with that. The Gemara says in Brachas, I think on Lamed Gimel, Rishlokesh asked Rabbi Yochanan, are you able to have laughter in your life in this world? So Rabbi Yochanan said, Az Yamale Schok Piv. Only when the Mashiach comes. So Gemara says, Miyomov, right after that, Rish Lakish never was Mali Schok Piv. I didn't say it about his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, because the Aruch HaShulchan says, Rabbi Yochanan, Schok Baal was Mutter. Rabbi Yochanan was the Rebbe, he had Shlit on it. You don't take it to an extreme. Of course you can have laughter and you can have a sense of humor and you have to be B'Simcha. But it doesn't mean you go guffaw and go nuts like that. Rish Lakish took it to an extreme. There has to be Shlit on. Shlit on it is a higher Madragan. You follow me? So that's exactly the Vort that I wanted to bring out. Okay, it's a very important chiddush. We have to note it. The notion of being having shlit on it. Okay, let's see Vayta now in the Gemara. We're in the middle of the Gemara now on Chafam and Beis. Okay, we chazered over. Okay, we're up to Shalchua. Everyone got it? Let's take a look inside. What is the topic we're dealing with? Zenen and Zelo Chaser. Okay? Zenen and Zelo Chaser means someone squats in my apartment. I never rent out my apartment, but the guy has nowhere else to stay. He doesn't have a house, or he's not near his house. No friends will let him stay for free. So he's Nene, but I'm not Chaser because I never rent it out, right? So we had no decision in the Gemara. Remember, Rami Bar Chama thought Yechayev, Rubber slugged up the Raya. So we're going back and forth. We really had no conclusive proof. We tried to prove from three Mishnayos on Omid Beis that Yechayev, we slugged them all up. So Gemara now wants to chime in on the Amoroim. What are the Amoroim's opinion on this topic? So let's start. Shlachua, the Bnei Yeshiva sent the Suffolk of Zenen and Zolochaser, Bei Rabami. What's Bei mean?
The
house of Rabami. House of Rabami. Okay? Amar. Dov, you got the case? This is a famous case. Zenen of Zolochaser. So it's a famous case with tolls. Everyone always has a shot about tolls. When you got a ride with a guy, it's Zenen. You had no other way to get there. Zolochaser. Right? Even though, unless you say that the weight in the car now is more and he had to use more gas in the car. But let's not assume like that. That's a classic shaila, Zenen of Zelochasr. Okay, but let's not assume that. Okay, let's assume it's a flat up case, Zenen of Zelochasr. What's the din? Okay, so Shlachua, they send Bei Rabami to the house of Rabami. It's a good Nakuda, Yonason. Amar, you know what Rabami said? Chima Asalo, Umayziko. I'm sorry, I skipped the word. Shlachua Bei Rabami, Amar v'chima asalo, umachisro, umaziko. Three phrases Rabami said. V'chima asalo. What did the guy do to him? The guy was squatted in my apartment. He did nothing to me. Umachisro. What money did he want? Did he take away from me? I never rented out. And what's number three? Umaziko. What did he want, Donnie? Umaziko. What did he damage me? So therefore, what is Rabami's opinion, guys? Yehuda, what do you say? Zenen Zolochaser Rabami holds putter. But it's a strange way. You got to be bothered by it. Why did he say these three phrases? So the Torah Chaim picks up on this. Please get it. One of the Gedolei Achronim says, why didn't he just say putter? What does he have to express it in three ways? So I want you guys to get this. Because on Amud Beis, right here, we try to be poshut from three Mishnayos that Zenen Zolochaser was chayiv. Start with number one. What did our Mishnah say? The Makar of Hana and Kol Torah Kulas, our Mishnah and Babakami, Yotesimis, Nenis, Mishalim Masha what?
Nenis.
Mishalim Masha Nenis. What do you see from here? What does Mishalim Masha Nenis mean?
I don't know.
Oh, so from the robot, how do we slug that up? So he speaks to that first Mishnah. And what does he say? He says that Mishnah that says what? What does that Mishnah say? Shalochasru v'lo Iziko. Stam payers to the Mishnah. He was what? Stam Peirus Mishrabim was Mafkir. So that's what it means. Usalo. What is Usalo? You did something that wasn't what? You did something that wasn't nice to him. Because he wasn't Mafkir at Lagamri, as Tysus learned. Remember we said he weren't Mafkir the Peirus Lagamri? He wasn't Mafkir the Peirus Lagamri. So if he wasn't Mafkir the Peirus Lagamri, Lomaisi, you did something that wasn't not nice to him. Mashenkin, when a guy squats in my apartment without permission, Lomaisi, did he do something that's not nice to me? No. None of those three things are a problem. So let's go one at a time. Let's start with the Mishnah by what? Let's start with the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? What did Rabbi Yehuda say in the case of the second floor with the first floor? You guys tell me. Why does the guy who built the second guy on the second floor, when he built the bottom floor, why does he have to pay rent? Because he blackened the what? He blackened the walls. So he blackened the walls. Right, so in this case, Lomaisa Shiziko, even though he didn't chaser him klum, Lomaisa, he could have lived in a blackened walled house, but the guy wanted to live in a nice house. Okay, so Lomaisa, what about the second Mishnah? What's Makif? What was the deal from Makif? That if the Makif, who built the fourth wall,
the Nikif,
if he built it, then we have to pay. Made the Nikif pay Zenen of his Olochaser, right? Because he caused him to pay extra what? He caused him to make extra fencing. Correct. Caused him to make extra fencing. even though he didn't damage him. And in our Mishnah, he wasn't Choserim, he wasn't Mazikim, he might not have done the same thing. So that's the three-prong Lashon that I want you to get. What is the three-prong Lashon? Number one, Ma'asalo, he didn't do anything to him, which speaks to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, he didn't do anything to him that was annoying. All the guy did was live in my apartment, says the Torah Schein. Ma'asalo, what did he do? He didn't do anything, Lamaisa. Ma'asalo, that's the Lashon. Ma'asalo is he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything that wasn't not Noach to him. Number two, he didn't what? In this case, he didn't what? He didn't damage him at all. Right? He didn't damage him at all. And number three, Lamaisa, he speaks to all the Mishnayos. This case is not comparable to any of those three Mishnayos. In the case of Makif, it wasn't a what? It wasn't a damage either. So all those three Mishnayos, you have none of those three reasons to Mechayiv. And therefore he says you should be what? You should be Pater. And Dar B'chatz Chavero doesn't have the what? Shiziko Lamaisa. The blackening of the walls Lamaisa. You don't have the notion of adding extra fencing. And you don't have the notion of what? Doing something that wasn't nice to him. And therefore, says Rabbami, I believe strongly that what's the din? Zenanim Zelochasar is what? Is Pater. Correct. Okay. Vayta now in the Gemara. Let's go. Says the Gemara continues. Reb Chiya Bar Abba Amar. Nishyashiv Bedavar. What's Nishyashiv Bedavar? I want to think about this Shiloh. It's a very intricate Shiloh. So they got impatient. Hadr Shlachua. They sent again the Shiloh Kameh to Reb Chiya Bar Abba. He said, come on. Amar Kule Hai Shokhaliva Azle. How many times you got to send me the Shiloh? I'm thinking about it. Il Ashkeche Ba Taima. If I would have a Psak, I wouldn't send it to you? Of course I would have sent it to you. The fact I didn't send it to you, I'm still thinking about it. So be patient. So Rab Ami chimes in and he says what? Pater. Rab Chiya Bar Abba says, I'm still not sure what the din is. Okay, so let's check other Amorim. Itmar was stated, let's see. Rav Kahana, Amar, Rabbi Yechanan, Sheinu Tzarech La'alo Schar, without batting an eyelash. Rabbi Kana quotes Rabbi Yochanan, you don't have to pay rent. Potter. Rabbi Abo Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shesarech La'alo Schar. So Machlok is what Rabbi Yochanan said between who? Rabbi Abo Rav Kahana. Yes? So Machlok is what the first generation of Amor Tzvi said. Rabbi Abba, Rav Kana says you don't have to pay. Rav Abo says you got to pay. You know what Rav Papa says? Amar Rav Papa, Donnie with me? Had the Rabbi Abo La'abetheirish Inmar Mechlol Inmar. What does that mean? Did you hear it? Did Rabbi Abo hear it directly, the psak from Rabbi Yochanan? No, he heard a shear, and he derived a klal from the shear. So please get it. There's a Mishnah Meseches Meila. Please get it. What does Meila mean? Literally translated means trespassing, but it means trespassing hektish. So Rav Schechter always points out this Mishnah in Meseches Chagiga as the makor for two types of Meila. I want you to know this. There are two types of Meila al pi din. And this Mishnah is illustrative of these two tracks. One is Gezel, stealing from the Beis HaMikdash, and two is not stealing, two is what? Hana, derived benefit. There are two tracks of Me'ila. Okay? And there are two cases in this Mishnah Chagiga will illustrate it. Let us see. It says, it's a Mishnah in Me'ila too, it's quoted in Chagiga as well. Also, it's in the Mishnah Me'ila Daf Kof, Yud Tesim Beis. It's also according to Chagiga. I think it's on Daf Yud and Chagiga. Yudam and Aleph. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara, yeah, Yudam and Beis. So Gemara says, Tanan, Natal. Who's Natal? What does Natal mean? Take. Who took? The Gizbar. What is the Gizbar? The treasure. Gizbar is the treasure of the Beis HaMikdash. He works for the Beis HaMikdash. This Tanan, Natal, Evno, Kurush, will actually take a stone or a beam of Hekdash. Harizelo Ma'al. He takes it for himself. He does not trespass. He does not trespass. Because what is trespassing? The first track is stealing. And in order to steal, what must you do? What must you do? You must take it out of the domain of who? Hektish. How do you do that? If the Gizbar is the supervisor of Hektish, the treasurer of Hektish, he's an extension of Hektish. So anything that's Hektish is his. He's just an extension of Hektish. So how do you take it out of the domain of Hektish? You give it to a private individual. And that's why it says, because he took it for himself, but it wasn't out of his domain. You understand what I'm saying? As Tosus learns, we're going to see it inside, God willing, he misunderstood. You see, he thought, and you know, you hear stories about this on the radio or newspaper, that you have a nonprofit and a guy took the stuff for his own, went to his own baseball games, basketball games. He used the what? Used the money for his own purposes. Right? Obviously, that guy's is a goner. It's a terrible thing. But somehow, the Gizbar thought the same thing, and he thought whatever is his is you know, whatever the base of Mikdash is his. So he can take it for himself. So he was mistaken. But everyone in their right mind knows that once you give it over to another party, your mom is taking it out of the domain of who? Of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why it says, Nasl l'chaveiro, then hu ma'al. Who's hu ma'al? The gizbar is ma'al. Excellent. The gizbar is ma'al. The chaveiro lo ma'al. The recipient, though, is not ma'al. Why? Because when you do it b'shogeg, what's the famous din? When you're ma'al b'shogeg, you have to know this, it's yotz l'chulin. Ma'al b'shogeg, when you do me'ila b'shogeg, the chefsa is yotze l'chulim. The chefsa is yotze l'chulim. The hekdesh goes out of the item. You got this yudi, you got to know that din. And therefore the recipient is not yotze l'chulim. The recipient is not mo'al. So therefore the gizbar is mo'al. So which track is this called? Gezel or me'ila, this first case. Which one does it illustrate? Gezel. Excellent. Get it down. This first case illustrates gezel. Me'ila of gezel. That's number one. Okay? Look at Tosfos. Look at Tosfos real quick, Donnie. Read the Tosfos. Nasl chaveiro. Go ahead.
Nasl chaveiro. Fuet. Parakamad of Pagigo. Parath. Mithay. Vigezel. Gazle. Mali. Hu. Mali. Chaveiro.
What's Akasha? What's Mechdi mean? Let's analyze. Excellent. Who cares? Who cares how he's stealing? Let him steal for himself or let him steal when he gives it to his friend. If he starts using it for his own personal purposes, why is that not Gezel? That's the Gemara's kasha. What's the Gemara's answer in Chagiga? Umishani. Excellent. What are we talking about? No, we're talking about specific stones that were given over to the Gizbar to supervise. And therefore, if we're giving over to the supervise, then what? Then basically what he thought is correct. Meaning that what? His domain is really an extension of what? Of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the mice of his domain is what? He was supposed to supervise these specific stones. He thought his domain is extension of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, when he did it for what? When he takes it for himself, he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. The problem is, when he gives it over to an individual party, then he knows he's doing something wrong. And then Lamaise, that's going to be what Gezel. He might even think in that case he's not even doing something wrong. But the Gemara answers in Meseches Chagiga that in fact, Lamaise, in such a case, he had supervising these. And since he was supervising these, it's like it's what Rishus sets low, and everywhere where he puts it, it's not Yotzim Rishus Hektish. So Kol Zman, he doesn't give it over to a friend, he's not Moil. That's the Gemara's answer. Okay? Donnie, you follow me? These are stones given over to him to watch, to supervise specifically. So since they're in his Rishus, anywhere he puts them, they should stay under the domain of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the only way you can conjure up Mila is what? Is when you give it to someone else. He even thought that was okay. But therefore, that's Mila Yotz L'chum. But it's not Mila until he gives it over to another party. Well, there's no Shinui yet. We didn't get to Shinui. Okay? Now read Taisa Zim Tomar.
Zim Tomar, we come up in the ball to Ave.
Go ahead. What's Tosfos' kasha? He says, I don't understand. He still asks, why is it not considered to be me'ila right away? What is the famous din of a shomer chinam? What is a shomer chinam? What is the din of a shomer chinam? Shomer chinam is responsible to watch an item. But what's he chayv only in?
Shia.
Is he able to use the item for himself?
No.
He cannot use it. If he does it, what's that called? Shlichus Yad. That's considered to be Gezel. So he asks the Kasha, he says, this should be like Shlichus Yad b'pikaron. Even though the Kli is by the Shomer, but if you're Miskaven Lishloch Yad, you're Kone, you become an owner, and you become a owner of the object, you're chayv and onsen. If you're a Shomer Chinam and you're Shloch Yad on the basketball, you're a chayv and onsen subsequently from that time on. Because you dribble the basketball. You're not allowed to touch the basketball. Who would deny me here? These Avadim are under the auspices of who? Of the Gizbar to protect for what? for the Beis HaMikdash. Now you want to use them for yourself. You should be moral as soon as what? As soon as you want to use them. Even before you gave it over to your friend. As long as you're Miskav and Liskos, you should be Chayiv. So he says, even according to the Ma'an Amar Shlichus, what does Shricha Chisaron mean? What does Shricha Chisaron? That the item has to be what? Minimized. It had to be devalued a little bit. But that's only when you're Mechavin to what? That's when you're not Mechavin to Mikona the whole thing. But if you're Mechavin to Mikona the whole thing like here, he wanted to use all these stones, you should be Mechayiv right away. So Tosis doesn't give up. He asks, why aren't you Chayiv right away? Why do you have to wait till you give it to your friend? Go ahead, Yesh Lomar. Oh, so what's the answer? The only time you're moel is when what? The only time you're moel is when the adam is moel, when you're miskaven lo tzio mirshus mishu. You only are considered to be meila when you're miskaven lo tzio from the rishus of who? From the rishus of whose it is. But here, who did he think it was? He thought he was an extension of what? The Beis HaMikdash thought it was his own thing. And therefore, by taking it for his own thing, he didn't think he was doing anything wrong. Because he's an extension of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, that's not really true. But what he does know is that when it is in Mila, it's Mila when what? When it changes Rishuyos. He also might have thought that was what? Not considered to be a problem. Because he thought he could do with anything he wants. He might have thought that was okay as well. Because the only time it's Yotze L'chunulun is when what? When you do Mila B'shogeg. If you do it Mila B'mezid, what's the din? The Kedusha still what? Yeah. Still stays on the object. So you have to say, L'maisa, that he thought everything was okay. In other words, so we say it's not Mila until when? It's not Mila until you actually are Motzi at what? From his, he knows when you give it to another guy. He knows when you give it to another guy that it's someone else's rishus, but he didn't think anything was wrong with that. That's why it's called Mila B'shogeg. But when he himself took it, he didn't even think anything was wrong with that. So that would not have been called even Me'ila. You follow me? Me'ila, by definition, you have to know you're taking out of the Beis HaMikdash domain. You might have thought that that's okay. That's why it's called Mila B'shogeg. But you know at least you're taking out of the guy's out of the Beis HaMikdash's domain. When you use it for yourself as the Gizbar, you didn't think you were taking it out of the domain. So it wasn't even Mila. That's what Tyson is saying. You follow me? So that's the shot in Tyson when he gives this water, he gives this answer. Please get it. It's a beautiful answer that he wants to say. Okay? Because he thought it was his. It was mistaken. So that's the Chiddush we want to bring out. You got it clear? Again, we have two cases of Mila, two tracks, let's call them. One is Gezel, one is Anah. In our case of Gezel, it was Mila B'shogeg Yotze L'chulin. Mila B'mezid, I'm going to write it down. Mila B'mezid is Loke. Mila B'mezid is Loke. The what? The Lo Yotze L'chulin. Lo Yotze L'chulin. Okay? So L'maisa, we're talking about a case of B'shogeg in our Mishnah. And therefore, the only time it's Yotze L'chulin is when he gave it to his friend. That's the Chiddush of what? That's the Chiddush we're bringing out here. Now, is this case germane to us or not? No. The Mishnah wanted to be quoted in its totality. But regarding our topic of Zen Nen as a Lochasar Natan, it has nothing to do with it. This is just the first case that's talking about Gezel. We need to be talking about the second one, talking about Hana. Yes, Svi, go ahead.
You don't say this is about the Gizbar, the same case? Gets
we didn't get to the second case yet. We're in the first case.
What's number two on the board?
Number two is when you're mole bemezid. Right. Someone uses something bemezid, he's loke, and the thing is not Yotze L'chulin. In general, okay? The only time it's Yotze L'chulin is when you do Mila B'shogeg. Those are the rules you gotta know. Okay? Alright, good. Go ahead now. You got me? Let's go back to the Gemara. Okay? Back to the Gemara. You with me? That's the first case. Here we go. Second case. Bono l'soch beso. Here he doesn't give it to his friend, the Gizbar. What does he do? He builds it in his house. He takes the stones of the board and puts it on his house. He's not moil until he lives under it. How do you quantify that? You have to. I guess you'd have to check how much rent it would be for an hour. But bono l'soch beso is a lomal achi yidor tachteha. Till he lives under it. Shava pruta, the worth of a shava pruta. Please get this down. The Tosis Yontif on the Mishnah says the Gizbar pays lefi tovas hana that he had from the what? From the Nesina. You pay for what? You pay for how much? You pay for the Tovas Hanot. In the first case of the Mishnah, when it said Humal, how much do you pay? Do you pay the whole thing? In the first case of the Mishnah, when he gave it over to his friend, how much do you pay? Do you pay for the whole thing? Or do you pay what? Only the Tovas Hanot. You know what Tovas Hanot means? Again, I'm still in the first case. What's the first case? When he gave it over to your friend. The friend's going to be very appreciative. What is Tovas Hanot mean? He's going to be very appreciative to you, and he's going to what? Pay you back. So how much do you pay when you give it over to your friend? Do you pay only Lefi Tovas Hanot Shabbat? That's the Tosis Yontif. What does Tosis Rabbi Akiva Eger say? He says that's ridiculous. You only pay Lefi Tovas Hanot when you actually imbikabal. Imbikabal means if you use the utensil and you cut something with it, then you pay the Tovas Hanot that you had from the cutting of the, using the saw to cut something. But if you give it to your friend, you're chayav what? You're chayav on the whole thing. So please get that. So machloikis between Rabbi Akiva Eger, and the Tosis Yontif, in the first case when you give it to your friend, how much do you pay? Rabbi Akiva Eger says you pay for the whole thing. The only time you pay for Tovas Hanot is when you what? Is when you use the thing, lemaisa, for, use the item, the saw that was owned by the Beis Hamikdash, for what? For sawing something. But when you're giving something over, you pay the whole meal. Tosis Yontif is a pella. He says you pay the Tovas Hanot of how much you're going to get from the Nesim. Yes?
This is how much the Gizbar has to pay, or how much the guy who received it?
How much the Gizbar has to pay. He was moil. How much did the Gizbar have to pay? Does the Gizbar have to pay the Tovas Hanot that is going to be repaid back and reciprocated by the guy he gave it to? Or do you have to pay for the whole thing? The Kivayger says, of course you have to pay for the whole thing. That whole notion of Tovas Hanot is when you get Hanot from an item, Lamaisa. How much you got from the item if you use, let's say, a saw. If you use the saw, Lamaisa, and cut something with it, then what? Then Lamaisa, you talk about Tovas Hanot. So get that Machlaikis. But that's all within the first case. It's not germane to us. What's the case that's germane to us? Let's see it again. Bundle of beso. How do you quantify that? Ask the marketplace how much it is to rent something for an hour, how much whoever it is. So you put the board or the stone on the top, what? And you're chayev hana. Vamer Shmuel, what does Shmuel say? Hushenichag al pi aruba. What does Shmuel say? You put it on the stoplight. You know? What's it called?
Skylight.
Excellent. Thank you, Yonason. You put it on the skylight. So you put it on the skylight and you plugged it up, and therefore you're chayiv. Okay? That's not called a shinui. Please get this down. In halacha, we've mentioned a few times before, when you want to sell an item, what is the concept called? Kinyanim. Now, what are kinyanim? You want to transfer an item from one place to the next, from one owner to the next. There are three elements. Das makna. You need the willingness of the seller. You need das kona. You need willingness of the buyer. You need a maisa kinyan, an action that shows transfer of ownership. But the Torah has a stunning chiddush when it comes to gzeila. This is bilateral. You know what bilateral means? There's a buyer and there's a seller. But the Torah has a wild chiddush called kinyane gzeila, that if you are a goslin, you can acquire the object unilaterally because you stole. Obviously, the guy didn't want to give it to you. You stole it from him, and you are koni the object unilaterally. That could be with Yeush, this Shinui Rishus, but also something called Shinui by itself. Shinui Achefetz, which I want you to get down. What's the first example? I steal from Matthew, God forbid. I give it to Shimshon. So Matthew was Miyayish, he'll never get it back. And the Shinui Rishus is always by the third guy, not by me. People always make that mistake. Shinui Rishus always means by the third guy. That means Shimshon would be kona the object that was stolen. Not me, I stole it. But I gave it to Shimshon. Because there was Yeush and there was Shinui Rishus. Shinui Rishus is always by the third guy. You guys got to get that down. Don't make that mistake. It's in Perek Merub, in the seventh Perek of Baba Kama Masechta. Merub is a whole different lima. When we learn Baba Kama on here, we learn Merub. Ruba is a very hard parak. Talks about Kinyan Gzela, Gezel. So Benji, you got this? So one track is Yenish Shinners. What's the track we're talking about? Shinui Chefetz. I steal a computer from Matthew, and what do? I make it into metal. I rip it up because I want to sell the metal. I did a Shinui on the object. That itself I'm kona. What do you mean? I thought kinyanim is bilateral. You need das kona, das makna. That's by what? Sales in general. That's by gifts in general. But the Torah has a stunning chiddush by kinyanik zeilim. That when it's unilateral, the Torah gives the gazlan the ability to be kona an object. Either through yeush and shinu rishus, one track, or shinu achefetz, the other track. Which is what we're getting into now. So what happens here? What does the guy do? What does the guy do? The Gizbar takes the stone of the beam owned by the Mishnah, puts it on the skylight, like Yonason said. And he derives benefit. What's the din? He's got to pay Me'ilah. So the first case was Gezel. Second case on the board, what I write down? What I write down? What's the second track of Me'ilah? Hana. This is Hana. This second case illustrates Hana. That's why it's Chayiv. What does it have to do with our case? Let's see inside. V'amr Shmuel, u'shinicha al pi aruba. You put it on the what? The skylight. And therefore what? I'm Chayiv. V'yosef Rebbe Abo kameid Rebbe Yechanan. Rebbe Abo was sitting in the presence of Rebbe Yochanan, v'kamer mishmeid de Shmuel, and he said in the name of Shmuel, Zoso Meris. Aha! You see from this Mishnah, Hadar bechatz chaver shlomi daito sarach la'alos lo schar. The squatter's got to pay. Zenen if zelochaser is chayv, because we're equating hilchos meila with hilchos what hedjot, a regular guy, regular commoners. Because the gizbar is chayv, the hana is sitting under the skylight of that stone. He got hana from the shade from the what sunlight. He got Hana, that's Me'ila. Hadar b'chatzar shchaver shlomi daito is chayiv. Look inside the shasakle. Rabbi Yechanan was quiet when Rabbi Abo said this in front of Rabbi Yechanan. Iu, Rabbi Abo, sovereign me to shasak modele. Iu, Rabbi Abo thought that since Rabbi Yechanan was quiet, he was moded to him. Shtika ka what? Shtika ka oda, the lohi. No way. Ashkechuche lo ashkechbe kiderabba damarabba hektis shalomi das kehedjot midas dami. No way. Fakir, you know why he was quiet? Because he wasn't gairus what he said. He thought it was totally wrong. The cases are not comparable. Why are the cases not comparable? Because what is our case? You're squatting without the knowledge of who? Of the landlord, and therefore we thought it was comparable. Hektish also. What's the answer? Hashem knows everything. Shem knows everything. If Hashem knows everything, that's what can bless you. That's considered midaito. So this sheds no light on our shiloh. Havadar b'chatzah chaver shalomi daito. Please get that. According to the Maskanas, we're going to look at Rashi on the bottom. See the Rashi. The hektish leka lemeim are shalomi das. The dashchina ika, hilka kehedyot midas dami. Meaning to say, whatever the Eibishter says is what is automatically midas. Our shail of zenen and alzelochas is when it's shalom midas. Is that correct? So therefore, Rashi the Gemara says that broke the comparison, and we have no answer. Sheds no light on our shaila. The second track of Mila. Yoni, clear? Is that clear, Matthew? You got it? That's how Rashi's learning. Natan, clear? So I was bothered by you. Read this Gemara according to Rashi. What's bothersome to you? Adam, what's bothersome to you in this reading of the Gemara? Yonah, so what do you say? What's the Havamina? Like the song I used to sing to my kids when they were small. Hashem is here, Hashem is everywhere. What do you mean Hashem didn't know about it in the Havamina? When you read this Gemara, you got to be bothered by it. What was the Havamina? So what I think you have to say is like this. Get it down in your notes. Is that in the Havamina, the Gemara felt that Hashem gave over everything over to the Gizbar. And when you talk about matters of Hektish, you look at the Gizbar. And the Gizbar didn't think that what? He was doing anything wrong. And since the Gizbar didn't think he was doing anything wrong, it was what? Haraya, he himself used it for himself. So therefore, the Gemara thought in the Havamina that was comparable to Shalomi Daito, that case of Hektish, to our case of a squatting Shalomi Daito. And then the Gemara wakes up and discovers America and says, no, when it comes to matters of Hektish, Hashem did not give it everything over to the Gizbar. Hashem is in charge, even in the Choshen Mishpat Shabbat, and therefore Hashem's Das is always there, no matter what. That's the way you got to read the Havamina and read the Maskana, according to Rashi. Okay? But what do you see according to Rashi? Please get this. What do you see according to Rashi Natan? That there is a very clear distinction, and way we built up the Sugya before the Bechina, that Rashi distinguishes between knowledge and not knowledge. When we first saw the Sugya in Chafamav, when it said, Adar b'chatzar cherero, Shalom Idaito, what did we say, Matthew? We said Shalom Idaito was Lav Dafka. Remember we said that? We said even if he knew about it, as long as he didn't say anything, it's the same thing as Shalom Idaito. Yes? That is only going to be according to Tosis, as you said correctly. According to Rashi, it is not Lav Dafka. Shalom Idaito is Dafka. That the whole topic of Zen and his Lachos is about the knowledge of the landlord. And the Gemara distinguishes and says Hektish was a case where there's knowledge, because the Abishter knows everything. What we said earlier was what we were performing Tysus. Okay? But Rashi clearly writes, please get this, Rashi clearly writes that there's a fundamental difference between Daito and Shalomi Daito. And the Shaila of Zenden is a Lochasa Yonatan is where it is Shalomi Daito. When it's Midaito, it's a whole different ball game. And this case is Midaito, and therefore since it's Midaito, that's why you're Chayiv. Okay? And that's why you're Chayiv. That's what Rashi wants to say. It's considered to be Midaito, and therefore Lamaisa, we assume Alach Lamaisa, that you're going to be what? You're going to be chayiv in such a case. Okay? Let's take a look at the top toises. Okay? Let's see the top toises. Benji, why don't you read the top toises? Go ahead. Kehejo, guys, look inside. Kehejo.
Midas Dami.
Go ahead.
Perish HaKuntras or Perish Afi?
No, Perish HaKuntras.
Perish HaKuntras.
Said good. Go ahead.
The Das Shechina.
Right, read again. Kehejo.
Kehejo Midas Dami. Perish HaKuntras. The Das Shechina Ika.
Excellent. Go ahead. Tosis says the whole this doesn't make any sense. Midaito is lav dafka, what we've been saying all along. If the guy's sitting in there knows you're sitting in there and you don't say anything, it's the same thing. Ella what?
Ella orcha.
It just mentions the way of the matter. Usually it's shalom midaito. But who
a din? Midaito.
The same din is the same din as midaito. Just mention the way of the matter. Usually the way it is. The guy has no knowledge of it. Go ahead. Ella.
Ella nira kehedyo midas dami shalomar didas shchina ika shalom yahane adam below midila.
Oh, get this down. So what's Tosis pshat? Tosis pshat is like this. Very interesting. Tosis pshat is like the guy screaming at you, and he's protesting. When you talk about Me'ilah, there's an Isser. Hashem said it's Usser to do Me'ilah. So it's like Hashem's protesting, don't you dare touch those items for yourself. And if the guy's screaming at you and protesting not to go into your apartment, what's the din in that case? What do we say from the Baal Yat Taisis, Matthew? You must definitely pay. Remember we said that?
Yeah.
That was the sheet of the tour against Reb Chaim Volozhiner. And remember, the Nachlas David said he heard from Chaim Volozhiner. But Shitas HaTais in the tour is that if you scream at the guy and you say, how dare you go in there, and you go in there, you're going to have to pay. Not only did you an issue, you're going to have to pay. And that's what Taisis is, the Gemara is saying. Me'il is like you're protesting with the guy. What does Shalomi Daito mean, Adam? It can mean Midaito, but you didn't protest against the guy. That's our Shiloh. According to Rashi, the Shaila is Mamish Shalomi Daito without knowledge Mamish. According to Tosis Yoni, it's Lav Dafka. It could be with his knowledge, but he didn't protest. You guys got to know this. Because there's a fundamental Machlokes Rashi Tosis, the Sugi of Zen and Lachasa, what is it talking about? Is it talking about with knowledge or even Shalomi knowledge? So according to Rashi, it's only talking about a case of Shalomi Daito. It's only Shalomi Daito. That's the whole topic of the Sugi. According to Tosis, is talking about Shalomi Daito and Midaito, as long as you didn't protest. Because in your protest, there's no doubt you got to pay. There's no doubt you got to pay. And Me'ilah is exactly that. It's like Hashem protested with the Isser of Me'ilah. Therefore, you definitely got to pay. Yonason, you got this? That's the way Tosis learns different than Rashi. Tosis Rashi Bob Metzia says the same thing. Doesn't mean they don't know. They know in their show's sake. So what's the difference? Shalomi Daito means a protest. Hektish is an automatic protest. Rabbeinu Peretz and Rabbeinu Yishai in the Shittim Gubetza say the same thing. That Hekdes Shalom B'macha is like Hedjit B'macha. The Torah protested by saying do not have benefit. Please get this. Okay. Yudi, you got me? Yes, no problem that time. There's a fundamental machlokes in Rashi Tosis, what the topic of the sugya and how to learn the answer of the Gemara is. Number one, Rashi says the topic of the sugya is what? Where the guy does not know. The landlord doesn't know you squatted. It's dafka. So what's the Gemara's answer? Hekdesh is not comparable because Hashem knows everything. Yes? We asked what the Havaminu was. Havaminu was Hashem gave everything over to the Gizbar. And the Gizbar didn't know. So we thought it was comparable. The Gemara answers no. Gemara discovered America. Hashem said, Hashem's in charge of everything in the Choshen Mishpat. Hashem's in charge of anything in general. We know that. But regarding the details of the Choshen Mishpat, did he give everything to the Gizbar? Even in the Maskana, he did not. So Hashem knows everything. This was not comparable. Yes? But what do you see from Rashi? That the Shiloh was only when a Shlomi Daito, right? The squatter, Shiloh, is only without the knowledge of the landlord. Is that correct? Okay, good. Tosa says, I disagree with you. Tosa says that Shlomi Daito is Lav Dafka. It could be with the knowledge of the landlord, he just didn't protest. So what was the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is that Hekdesh is like protesting. Hashem has an Isser of Me'ilah. So it's if Hashem is protesting and saying you can't go in there. And Tosa says when you go against the guy protesting, there's no doubt you got to pay. Whereas in our case, we didn't protest, so we don't know. So it's not a good riot. Okay?
According to Tosos,
what was the answer to the Gemara?
That Hashem is protesting.
Yes. And when you protest, then you definitely got to pay. In our case, there was no protest. And he might have even known that he squatted. He didn't protest. Okay? Now, if you guys remember we said from the Nachlas David that he heard from Chaim Volozhiner? Remember we got in that whole discussion about ownership? You remember that? Man, what did Reb Chaim Volozhiner say? The Nachlas David said that Reb Chaim Volozhiner said that he remembered him saying that what? That he felt the halacha was not like the Torah and Tosfos. That even if a guy did not listen to you, you protested, don't you dare go in my apartment, and you did, you don't have to pay. Remember that? Who would that be backed up in Rishonim with? So I found a Rashba. The Nachlas David says the Rashba is a different shot. Please get the answer down. And the answer is that when the Torah Hekdesh says you can't derive Hanah, it's like making a Tanai. What is making a Tanai with the man? See, you can watch a guy go in your apartment and be quiet. That's one possibility. You can watch a guy come about to go in and scream at him, don't you dare come in. And then number three, you can what? You can make a Gedish and say, you go in there, you better pay me. That third possibility is what the Rashba says. And Hashem says, you use my stuff, you got to pay. That's what the Rashba says that Hekdesh is. Hekdesh, the Torah says, don't derive benefit. And if you do, it's like you made it tonight and you got to pay. So according to the Nachlas David and the Rashba, you could yell and protest from today until tomorrow. You don't have to pay a penny. When's the only time you got to pay a penny? Is when you make it tonight that you better pay me. Please get that. The Rashba says the only time you got to pay me is when you make a Tanai. So you can scream him from today until tomorrow. So I was so happy that now we can say the Nachlas David and Chaim Volozhiner are backed up by this Rashba. Because the Iker according to Rashba is the notion of making the Tanai. And by Hekdesh, there's an automatic Tanai that if you use my stuff, you got to pay. By a hedgeot, unless you make the Tanai, then the Tanai wasn't made. So it comes out, according to the Rashba, what's the Iker Nakuda, Yonason? Not the what? Not the protesting. What's the Iker Nakuda? Did you make a Tanai that you're going to pay me? What's the Iker Nakuda according to Rabbeinu Yishaya and the Rabbeinu Peretz and the tour? Did you protest? If you protest and the guy went in, you got to pay. That's the tour in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Gimel. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner and Nachlas David are backed up based on the what? It's interesting because this is the third Nakuda we mentioned the Chaim Volozhiner today. We start with the story with the Gaon, then we start with this psak. You heard in number three, Chaim Volozhiner writes in his sefer Chutam Meshulish is a tshuva sefer that the Gaon said that if you feel something's wrong in halacha, it's also for you to paskin against what you think. Like if you think the psak and the mechaber is not right, you have to paskin against them. And he says it's also for you not to. So there, this is an example of that. He felt the Mechaber and the Torah were wrong. What's it, he felt the Mechaber and the Torah were wrong. The Iker is the Tanai, that in order to what? not the yelling, protesting. The issue is the ability to say, if you come in, you're going to pay me. You can yell from today to tomorrow. That doesn't change the din. The din is the tanai. So by hektish is an automatic tanai. So what emerges now? Yoni? Three ways to learn the maskanas gemara on that time. What's the first way? We thought that hektish and hedyo were comparable, that they're both shalomi daito. What did the gemara discover in America? Hashem didn't give everything over to the gizbar. Hashem's in charge, even the choshen mishpah. That's midais. That's Rashi. What does Taisa say? It's like protesting. Whereas the our case is where there was no protesting. And what's number three? The Rashba says, hektish is like there was a tanai. You want to use my stuff, you got to pay. Whereas by hedjit, the tanai, there was no tanai made. So those are three ways to learn. It's a good methodological example, guys, of how to learn up a Gemara and plug in the Rishonim with the Svaras. You follow me? See, according to Tosis, the Havim meaning the Gemara was very good. Midaito, Shalom, Midaito, there's no difference between the two. So Gemara compares it to Gemara. Says, no, still different. Hektish is like you protested. Hedjit, there was no protest. You see how we're learning up the Gemara? Yes, Adam, go ahead.
According to the Rashba, when we say Shalomi Daito, that means that there is no Tanai?
Well said. That's correct. According to the Rashba, there's really no difference between Shalomi Daito and Midaito also. The issue is, was a Tanai made? Correct.
So
there was no Tanai made.
That Shalomi Daito really
it means that he didn't say a word. He didn't say a word to him exactly. Correct. Hektish is automatic Tanai. Shem said it was also. You pay, you use it, you got to pay. So that's what the Gemara wants to say. That's the Chiddush we want to bring up. Three ways to learn Pshat. And I was so happy about it. We found our marker now from Chai Velazhner and Nachlas David and Rishon. Yes, go ahead. What do you say, Natan?
The owner said you can't go in there?
Unless you pay me. You can stay there. Gesundar, hey, but you better pay me the cash. Even though it's not Omid Liskor. You're right. Normally it's not read that out. But I said it now. I said I want it paid now. You remember we actually said that in the other way. Do you remember we mentioned that? I don't think I mentioned it in Chazara. But we definitely did mention it originally in Shir. Do you remember that? Remember we said that the Nuki Yosef, the Ramah quotes, that let's say the Baal Bais usually is never makbid. Yeah? I'm sorry, let's say the Baal Bais usually charges rent. And for this one time, we heard him said he's fine with it. I don't know. Maybe he's has a bar mitzvah, a wedding anniversary, so happy he'll let anyone stay there that night. So what would you say in that case? You don't have to pay. Because go bust of the time period at that time. You follow me? Even though normally you'd rented it out all the time, then Muki Yosef says later on, Mishim the Ramah. But this night he had an anniversary, so he's so happy. He had a bar mitzvah, he had a wedding, he made a wedding. So he said, anyone who stays there is fine. Do we go bust of what he usually does or right now? We go bust of right now. So you follow what I'm saying? Here, though, you have to make it tonight. Even though it's not normally rented out, but you have to make it tonight right now if you want to get paid. And he didn't say anything.
What's the practical difference between Tanai and protesting?
It's a big difference. Let's say I yell at the guy, but I didn't make a Tanai. So if you're the Rashba, you can't charge him a penny because you didn't make the Tanai. If you're what? If you're the Tosos, if you're Tosos, you made the protest, you could charge him. Correct. Big difference. Fundamental difference. Okay? I'm glad he asked me that. But it emerges three ways to learn up the Havim and the Maskan. It's a great example. This is how you learn up the Gemara guy. Siyata Deshmaya Vakodesh Baruch. You follow me, Yonison? You learn the Havamin the Maskana with the Rishonim. How they approach the Havamin the Maskana, how they plug it in. You point out very good. That's a Nafkamin. Okay? All right, we got this, Clore? Yes, go ahead. Very quickly, Matthew. We got to continue.
It's
go ahead.
Similar to Natan's Kasha, we had said before, Rebbe said, like, how could it be that, like, the story behind the Chambalish, I was like, how could it be that, like, oh, what I say changes Dine Mominus?
Right.
So why does it Tanai change Dine Mominus?
Tanai,
so I can. That's more of like,
yeah.
Different. Okay, fine.
I'll give you a best rye in the world. Machlaish are Meir Rebuta and Oliver Shas, whether you can make a Tanai on Moshe Kasa B'Tayr. Can you make a Tanai on Moshe Kosovo? You can make a Tanai again. But Rebuta says, Dover Sheba Mammon Tanai Kayim. By a Dover Sheba Mammon, of course you can. And Mammonus, you could configure your own deal. What's the marker for that? Sadi Dalim and Af Bob Metzia. Let's say a Shomer Chinim wants to say, you know what? I like you a lot. You've been a good friend of mine. You know what? A Shomer Chinim, you're not paying me a penny. I'm only Chayim Pshia. You know what? Since you've been such a good friend my whole life, I want to Machayim myself a Geneva and a Veda. Can you do that? Of course you can. How do you do it? You make a Kenyan. You gave me your basketball to watch. Not only am I going to obligate myself in negligence, I'm going to obligate myself in Geneva and Aveda. What do you mean? You're a Shomer Chinam. You're not paying me a penny. It doesn't make a difference. I can configure the way I want to configure. Masna Shomer Chinam Lioske Shomer Socher. No problem. It's all Sugya inside it out. How do you concretize it with a Kenyan? You take a Kenyan suitor, and we make a Kenyan, and I say, Matthew, you know, you've been such a good friend of mine. I'm going to up my level of Giyuvim. And Dini Mamonis, you always can configure that with the Tanai. Okay, excellent.
Rebbe.
Yeah, real quick.
Doesn't it seem to say that the guy who's protesting, he said something like, you can't stay here for free. Like, if you want to pay, you can stay. But
No, you didn't get into that. You just said, I don't want you staying here. Don't you dare stay here. We learned with the top ties, it's us or anyway. We know they got a cop out. Hey, question is, did he protest or not? So he did not make it tonight.
We have to read in that protest.
Yeah, protest is just, don't you dare go in my house. He didn't say a word to him about Mumbus. No tonight, nothing. Nothing at all. Okay. Now, Lamaisa, I want you to get the following. Please get this. There's a very lumdish in Nakuda, and I want you to figure it out. I want you to get it. Please, let's get it. Two very important Nakudas and lumdish in the Gemara's Havamina that we're comparing. Okay? So again, we're at the Maskanas of Gemara. Gemara rejected the comparison between Hektish and proving from this Mishnah from the second case of Hanav Mila to our case of Zendan and Zolochasa. Correct, Benji? Gemara destroyed the equation. Okay. But I want to work now a little bit on the Havamina, the equation, what the Gemara was thinking. Please get it. Reb Shimon Shkop in Simon Yates says the following. Do you remember we had a Pnei Yoshua? The Pnei Yoshua said the chiyuv to pay is always because of what in our topic?
No.
Excellent, Matthew. You always have to open the door with what? With Hana. Now, can I take him to a Din Torah? Only if I'm what? If I have a chisar. But if there's no Hana, then I can't take the guy to a Din Torah. Remember we said that's how the Pnei Yoshua set it up? So he says like this. Let's say the guy has Hana. He had nowhere else to stay. And I'm not chasar. What do we call that? Midas Tom to take him to a Din Torah. Where there's chisaron, there's no midas tom. So when do you talk about midas tom, guys? Please get this down. In the Havamina Gemara, when do you talk about midas tom? Between individuals, private people. But Hektish is a corporation. What kind of midas tom is there to take them to a din tire? What does that mean? It's a corporation. If you were Nana from Hektish, you can't talk about midas tom. You don't talk to them as a corporate. They're a corporation. So Rav Shimon asks, what was the bichlal, the equation in the Gemara between Zenden and Zolochasar, between Hedyon and Hektish? If there was Hana, then you have to measure, is it Midistom? Well, if he wasn't Chasar, Lamaisa, if he wasn't Chasar, then it's Midistom. If he was Chasar, then it's not Midistom. So that's Shaykh by a Hedyon. But how do you talk about Hektish that it's considered Zenden? The Zelochasa, that it's Midistom to be able to be Tovei Hana. How do you get the words out of your mouth when you talk about a corporation of Hektish?
When you say it's Midistom?
Midistom is when what? When a guy had Hana, can I take him to a Din Torah? So if I had Chisaron, then it's not a Midistom. If I didn't have a Chisaron, then it's possibly it's Midistom, depending whether it's a Potter or Chai. Zenden if Zelochasa or Potter means what? That it's a Midistom to ask him for money. If you're Chai, then it's not a Midistom. But how do you talk about that by Hektish? What do you mean? Hektish feels that you use their stuff. What are you going to say to Hektish? It's a corporation. It's not a human being. Oh, you're over me to stone Hektish. It's ridiculous. It's a corporation. It's not a human being. So Shmuel Rozovsky and Reb Shlomo Zalman and Birkas Avram all say, and this is what I want you to get down.
The
Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, Reb Shmuel writes this, the great Reb Shimon Panovich, Reb Shlomo Zalman, all about Zatzal. Great Rishivin Kol Torah and the Birkas Avrom, the great Rishivin and Kol Torah as well, answers that this moment, such a moment that you could be kofan, that you're acting like a mean person, is not considered to be mamo. And therefore, by Hektish, it's shayach to say it's not considered to be mamo. Meaning to say, what's the litmus test? The litmus test is, granted, you can't talk about meat as stone for a corporation. But what it means is that mamon kazeh, this type of mamon, that would we be kofan of Midas Tom? Is that called something that is considered to be tangible enough and meaningful enough, Lamaisa? And so by Hektish, it's shayach to say it's not considered to be what? It's not considered to be mamon. Zenene, the zelo what? Zenene, zelo chaser. Is this considered to be mamon or not, halacha Lamaisa? Even though Lamaisa, they're a corporation. But let's pretend, Yonason, that they're like a human being. That's what we're saying. And for Hektish to collect money on this, is it considered to be mean or is it considered not to be mean?
So we're just going to pretend that they're an individual?
Exactly. That's what we're basically doing. We're considering. This is what Reb Shmuel Rozovsky and Reb Shlomo Zalman and Birkas Avraham want to say. Such mammon lemaisa. Would we, if we pretended that they were an individual, would we call that mean if they would collect, or would they? Would we call this not mean? And therefore, this would shed light on a case of a hedgehog. That's what we're saying. You don't have to get into the nitty gritty and saying, "Oh, it's mean." Heck, this is a corporation. You're right, but. If in theory they were an individual, would we call this mean a stone or not? So that's the shaila at hand. Allah l'maisa. That's the shaila at hand. If you say chayiv, that shows that we don't call that mean. We don't call that mean a stone. So we're pretending in a sense that they would. What would be if they were individuals? And if we allow them to collect, must be that this is not a mean enterprise. And therefore, zen and zelochas is chayiv. That's what they want to suggest. That's the first nekuda I want you to get. The second nekuda I want you to get from this equation in the Havamina between Hekdesh and Hedid is as follows. There is a major, major discussion, even though we wrote on the board, there are two tracks of Me'ilah, like Rosh Hekdesh Lita always teaches us. But there is a major discussion amongst the Gedolei Achronim and Lamdis. Maybe both tracks fall under a general rubric called what? Gezel. Reb Chaim, the Rav's grandfather, Taka held like that. What is the shear, he said? What is the shear of Me'ilah in both tracks? You tell me. Excellent. What does that seem to highlight? Gezel. Even the second track, which is called Hana, it didn't say what? A Kazayas, did it? It didn't measure the Hana with a Kazayas. It measured it in the measurement of Mamanus, which is Shavar Pruta. So Reb Chaim postulates that in general, the whole din of Me'ilah is under the rubric of Gezel. And if that's the case, Lamaisa, that's the case, I want you to think about this Havamina. Because what was the Havamina? What was the comparison, guys? This is Rav Baruch Ber and Rav Elkanan both write. What's the comparison? Me'ilah, what are you chayv on? In the second track. Yonason, when are you chayv in the second track? Only when you sit under it? Shava Pruta. What happens by a head joke? Let's say I steal your basketball. And I get no enough from the basketball. Was I still over Gezel? Yes or no? If I steal your basketball, and I get no enough from the basketball, but I stole it out of your garage, am I a Goslin? Yes. How do you compare the two in the Gemara? We're trying to compare Hana, which was from the case of Hekdesh, second case, with the notion of Gezel. If you derive benefit, if I go in there and practice with your basketball, and I don't steal it, was I chayv at all? No, I didn't know it wasn't over Gezel. If I didn't devalue your basketball, I might have done an Isra, I have to ask you for Mechila. Wasn't right. But if I go in and practice basketball for your garage, take the ball out of your garage and practice in your driveway, and I didn't devalue the basketball, I'm not over Gezel. If you're Nenu without Gezel, without taking the adri, you're not over Gezel. But by Mechila, what's the din? What does the second track say? I'm Nenu Shavu Pruta. I'm considered to be Chayiv, even though I didn't take anything out. So how do you compare the two? How do you compare the two? So what's the answer? You understand what I'm saying? It's a very strong kash, especially according to the Mandamer on Tosus and Chafam and Beis that said it was usher. According to the Mandamer, Zenden is a little chaser, it's potter, but it's still usher for me to go in your garage. The whole shiloh of the Gemara was, if you already live there, can I pay you? Are you mechuyev to pay me or not? So you could say there's me'ila by a hedjit. You could say there's me'ila mishum by a hedjit, it's also usher to go in. What's the comparison between the two? Lamaisa. How are you medama hedyo to Hekdesh? To the case second track on the board, which says what, Yonasan? Hana. If anything, Lamaisa, Zenen is Elo Potter, it's still usher to go in. So you should say there's Me'ilah. So by the hedyo, it's usher to go in. What Bechlau will what? It's a very, very hard comparison in this Gemara that the Gemara compares the two together. Hedyot, you're chayiv on zeila if you steal the object, lamaisa, if you steal the object. But if you're nene without stealing it, there's no zeila. But here by me, hana on its own is chayiv. How'd you compare the two? By hedyot, you need what? You need to have zeila. So what's the answer? What's the answer, guys? The answer is Reb Chaim, it's a raya for Reb Chaim. How do you view me'ilah? Both tracks. The Gezel track and the Hana track are under really the rubric of what? What rubric are they really under? Gezel. They're under Gezel. It's Yeshava Pruta. So the Yesod of Me'ilah is Gezel Hektish. Tashlumi Me'ilah is Tashlumi Gzela. It's Gidrei Mamo. That is why the Gemara compares the two. We call it Gezel, correct. We call Hana Gezel. It's all Gezel. And Zenenev Zelochaser, if you want to be Chayiv, it's we consider it to be like Gezel. Hana is like going to be Gezel. It's all Gezel. We view it as all Gezel. Me'ilah, even though the second track is Hana, it's really called a glorified Gezel. And therefore, we can compare it to our case, where you also go in what we consider it to be what? We consider it to be Gezel as well. Allah alamayis. And therefore, it's a good comparison. Let's say again that time. How do you compare the two in the beginning? The second track on the board is Gezel. I'm sorry, it's Hana. Hana of Me'ilah. What are we trying to compare it to? Zen Nene Zelochaser? Nene, for a hedgeh, really is Gezel. Has to be Gezel, because if you're Nene, if I dribble your basketball in your garage, was I a Gezel? No. So when is Nene a problem? When is Nene a problem? When you steal it or when you consume it. I ate your fruit, my ox ate your fruit, my shore ate your fruit, Rosh Hashanah, you consume someone else's stuff. That's why it's a problem. It was a Gezel. He took it out of the guy's rishus. So how do you compare Hanav Mila with Gezel of a hedgeh? Don't get me wrong, even though we call it Zen Nene Zelochasra by a hedgeh, but it's really a glorified Gezel. But this is not a glorified Gezel. It's Hanav. Terence says it is also a glorified Gezel. So we're on the same track, so we can compare the two. No problem. Question is, what's the Maskana now? This is where Rabbi Chanan Pilpul's with. Please get it. Rabbi Chanan says, I can say the Maskana one of two ways. I can reject it and say that what? I'm sorry. The second track of Me'ilah remains what? Remains called Hana. It's not comparable to the Gezel of Hedjot. Or I can say what? What do I say, Adam? That Gezel of Hektish is more Chomer than Gezel of Hedjot. And they're not compared. You can keep the categorization, but you can say they're still not comparable. But you can say the Maskana one of two ways. That's what Rabbi Chanan writes. You follow me? Yes. The Havamina was we're comparing Hedjot with Hektish. But Hedjot is what? Really stealing. Because if I derive benefit from your basketball in your Rosh, it's not stealing. So when I talk about Hana, I'm talking about Hana being a glorified Tabe Gezel. My cow ate your prayers. So it's like stealing, right? It is stealing. It destroyed it. How do you compare that to Me'ilah on the board? It's with second track, it's Hana. They're not comparable. What's the answer? They're both under the rubric of Gezel. So that establishes and substantiates the Havamina. The comparison.
How is it not Gezel of Me'ilah?
Because the Yesod of Me'ilah, says Reb Chaim, is Gezel from Hektish. The Yesod of Me'ilah, no matter what, is you are robbing from the Hektish Natan. Even the Hanat track is called Gezel. That's why the Shear is how much? A Shavah Pruta, which is Mominus. If it would be Hanah based, what should the shear be? A kazayas, an olive's worth. The fact you're measuring it in a shear of a shofar is very telling, says Reb Chaim. That's why it's Gezel. So we have substantiated the Havamina now. What's the Maskana? Yoni, what's the Maskana? You could say it over one of two ways. What's the Maskana? Either the Gemara rejects what? Rejects that and says that the second track, Reb Chaim is really wrong. The second track of Mila is really called Hana. It's not called Gezel. It's called Hana, and by Hedjit it's called Gezel, so they're not comparable. Or you say Reb Chaim is right, still called Gezel, but the Gezel of Hektish is more Hamor than Gezel of Hedjit, and therefore they're not comparable. So by Gezel of Hektish, you'll be Chayv, sheds no light on our Shalav Dar B'Chatzar Chaver Shlomi Daitor. You got me? Those are the two ways you could say it. Yehuda, you got me? You want me to say it again? The Havamin is what? We compare Hana of Me'ilah, which is the second track, with Gezel the Hedjah. How do you compare the two? Reb Chaim says, because Me'ilah of Hektish is in general, both tracks are under the rubric of Gezel. Even the second track, Hana, is really Gezel. So they're on the same page. When my shore, my cow ate your fruit, so it's stealing. It's a form of stealing. Like the Rabbeinu Yonah. Any damage is like Gezel. Right? What does the Gemara say in the Maskana? Either rejects that and says, no, the second track remains Me'ilah, and it's not what? It remains Hana, and it's not called Gezel, therefore not comparable, or what? It's called Gezel, I'm still right, but Gezel Hekdesh is more chamor than Gezel Hedjin. That's why Gezel Hekdesh Yechayv, it sheds no light on our Shiloh Gezel Hedjin. Okay, everyone got that? Adam, you got a clore? That's the shot in the Gemara. Amazing, no? Okay. Now let's continue now with Tysus. We got a few more minutes. Let's finish with Tysus, okay? Let's start. You know what? Let's do the bottom Tysus. We'll finish up something, another topic, and then we'll pick up Shir tomorrow with that small Tysus on the bottom, next to last Tysus, and then we've got to go fight them. Let's just read the last Tysus. Benji, why don't you read the last Tysus? Go ahead. No, the last one. Ashkuche. The next to last one we'll do tomorrow, Blin Netter. Go ahead.
Ashkuche lo ashkeach bei. Ushmuel atmo hader bei. Kedamrin with the parak
hashoah. Wow. Who's Shmuel? Shmuel was the one who tried to make the comparison. Zosomeris. He was the one who said Zosomeris. Who compared the case of Chatzur b'chaver Shlomim Daito with this case of the second case in the Mishnah. In Meseches Me'ilu. Shmuel himself, when the Gemara made this maskana, he himself retracted. Interesting. Who says that? The Gemara above Metzia, black on white. Sadi Tesimanov. So I saw a very interesting horror. I want you to get this. The Rishash writes, that's why Rabbi Yochanan didn't even pay attention to him. Because Shmuel was Chozerbo. That's why Tosis Dafka mentions it here. That Shmuel was Chozerbo. In order to be Masber, why Rabbi Yochanan didn't pay attention to him? Because if Shmuel himself was Chozerbo from his equation, Rabbi Yochanan didn't even need to pay attention to what Rabbi Abo had suggested. You follow what I'm saying? That's why Tosis Dafka writes it here. Because Shmuel himself is who made the equation, was Chozerbo from the equation. So Rabbi Abo brought up Shmuel's comment of the equation. He knew that Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan knew that Shmuel himself had retracted from the equation, so he wasn't even garrison. You don't say shtika go da fucker. Didn't even take pay attention to him. Okay. All right. Now the previous Tysus Lamaisa, the previous Tysus, which we'll do tomorrow, Blinetter, talks about how could this kinyan be a good kinyan when it was temporary? It was a shinui that could be reversible. Shinui that's reversible is not considered a shinui. We'll get into that tomorrow, and we'll start. We have to go fight the two as well. Okay. I want to just close with the following topic. Have you ever heard of the topic called Nichush? Lo Senachashu? It's mentioned in Parshas Kedoshim and in Parshas Shoftim. Sefer Vayikra? Sefer Dvarim. It's called divination. A little different. Divination is what I would say is called like superstition. The Gemara says in Chulin, on Daf Sadi Hamid Beis, that Rav went to visit his son-in-law once, Rav Hanan. And he went to the bank of the river, and the ferry boat was right there. He said it was a good omen, and therefore it's a good omen to take the trip, and he went to take the trip. Now, Rav was of the opinion in Yordaya and Isser V'Heter, it's not our topic now, but he says any meat that's left unsupervised is usser. Usher shnis alim in ayin, Rav said was usher. So he got to his son-in-law's home, and they were going to offer him a piece of meat. He didn't touch the meat. Gemara says, why? Rav supervised the meat the whole time. It was never left unsupervised. The Gemara says, you know why he didn't eat it? Because he felt bad that he did divination. Then when he saw that the boat ferry came, and he didn't have to wait. Oh, he said it must be a good omen for the trip. He felt bad about that. And he wanted to find himself, so he said he wouldn't eat the meat. But the Gemara says, any nichush that's not like Yonason, not like Eliezer Eved Avram, or like Yonason Ben Shaul is not called nichush. What does that mean? When Eliezer decided which woman would be married to Yitzchak, he said, whoever woman asks to what, feed me and feed the camels. That'll be the woman. So if you don't do divination like Eliezer Eved Avram or Yonasan Ben Shaul, what did Yonasan Ben Shaul do? He had an arm bearer and they were going to decide whether they should fight the Plishtim. So it depended what the Plishtim would say to them. If the Plishtim said, come up to us, then that shows we should fight them, they'll fall down. But if they say halt, then we shouldn't attack. So they didn't follow Eliezer and Yonasan and Shaul. That's the model divination, which is usher. That's the... Yeah, go ahead, Benjamin.
No, you were doing that.
So how can they do it, you're going to say?
I was going to say, what about Yitzhak?
That's different. That was a netter. That was a netter. That's nothing to do with divination.
Oh, fine.
That was just a vow, a meshuggah and a vow. It's a meshuggah and a vow. Terrible thing.
At least like the first person that comes out of my house. That's what
but that was a netter, Lamaisa. That was a netter.
So why is Eliezer this is not a netter?
No, this is divination. He said, this must be the one that's the shidduch.
It wasn't
a netter, right? You follow me?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and also Yonasan and Shaul. How could you do that? So Rav wasn't doing Nichush. So you know what the Gemara answers? You're right. Rav didn't eat it because it wasn't a Sudas Mitzvah. He only ate from Sudas Mitzvah with bread and meat. If it was a Sudas Mitzvah of a wedding where a Talmud Chacham was wearing a Bas Talmud Chacham, but a Sudas Rishus, he would never eat from it. Doesn't mean he fasted. He ate, you know, vegetables. Or he ate bread. He ate meat, but he wouldn't eat a bread meal unless it was a Sudas Mitzvah. He was a tzaddik, Rav, first generation of Moira, Rav Tano Polik. But he didn't do Nichush. To fit into Nichush has to be what Eliezer did and Yonasan did. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Samachay says, what's a case of Nichush? A guy has some bread fall out of his mouth. Oh, I shouldn't do a business deal. A deer walks in his path. He's not going to do the business deal that day. We'll talk about some super snarskite that everyone knows. You know, you're not allowed to walk under a ladder.
Step on a crack.
Or you're not allowed to put a hat on a bed. Crack. All these meshuggah things, you're not going to invest in that thing. The Gemara says it's usher. It's mamash lo sanachashu. It's crazy. So, lamaisa. How could the Gemara... So the Gemara says, lamaisa. Anything that's not nichush like them is usher. So Tosafos immediately asks on the daf. They were tzaddikim. How did Eliezer and Yonasan and Shaul do it themselves? So you know what they answer? The answer is they would have done it themselves no matter what. A Rav would have taken a trip. It just was a side thing. You know what? It's a good omen. But if he would have gone there and had to wait for the boat, he wouldn't have canceled his trip. Same thing the Yonasan and Shaul was trying to encourage the arm bearer. They would have attacked anyway, no matter what. So therefore, they didn't really do Nichush. It means anyone who does Nichush without, if that would have been the linchpin factor, that's an Isser. You follow me? Oh, so Tosis is learning exactly. Tosis says, what Tosis is learning is, Pashup Shad is, Tosis Shita is, it doesn't answer up the Amoraim, but if there are a lot of factors in your decision, and this Meshuggah thing is one of the things, then it's not a problem. If my whole reason why I'm not investing today in that stock is because a black cat walked my path, that's an Isser Lo Sanachash. Mamish an Isser. But if it's a factor, Lamaisa, it's not a problem. That's Tysus. There's a lot of... You got to be honest with yourself. That's Tysus' approach. Comes along the Chiddush Yaron in Chulin is a different approach. His approach is it sensible? Rivka, the test was a very sensible... Was she a Balmidis? Was she from the family? So the test was a very sensible test. Yonasan and Shaul was also... Were they willing to fight these plishtim? If it's a sensible thing, then it's not divination. But if it's totally irrational, like a black cat, then it's usher min ha-derais. Lav, like it. And then there's a third approach to Radak. And you could count on your fingers how many times Radak's quoted in Shacharos, a parish on Tanakh. But the Ramah quotes him here in your day. The Ramah writes, the Radak says, I want you to get this. If you include a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the decision, then it's okay, says the Radak. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending a message to me that the black cat walked across the path, I shouldn't invest, then that's okay. But if I give power, that the black cat has power, and the fact that walked in front of me, I shouldn't invest, that's awesome. You know what? It's a lot like Lo Sechanim. You're never allowed to compliment a non-Jew, the Gemara says, and Avodah Zarah Daf Chof. I'm not allowed to say Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player ever played ever. I'm allowed to say, it says in Shulchan Aruch Beferish, Simin Kufna and Aleph. I'll show you in Seder tomorrow. I'm allowed to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the greatest talent that ever lived on the planet Earth. If I praise Hashem through it, then it's mutter. But if I do it in a vacuum, it's usher. That's the Radak approach here. And if you look up the Rambam actually says that Eliezer and Yonasan did wrong And the Ravid says this is nuts. The Ravid says the Shibush Gadol, and he says that, you know what? Eliezer and Yonas and Shaul would feed the Rambam fire in his mouth. I'll show you the Rambam. The Ravid argues on the Rambam. So these are three different approaches. And how do we paskin? So the Roma writes, well, you could go Yeshomer like the Radak. But then he says, Yeshomer, everything is usher. And he says, Chesed b'Hashem Yisov Avenu. Botech b'Hashem b'Chesed Yisov Avenu. And the Vilna Gaon points out the Gemara in the Dharam Daf Lamed Beis, which means that a person should be Tamim im Hashem Elokecha. All the superstitions in Narishkeit are Narishkeit. And you should never give any validity to do it at all. People say Kainahara, knocking on wood is even worse. That might have connotations with Yashki. But we have to be Tamim im Hashem Elokecha. If you are Tamim with Hashem, Hashem will be Tamim with you. When you start trying to divination for telling the future, this is not proper. And the Vilna Gaon says the second day in the Ramadan will be passing against the Radak. And therefore, he shouldn't be involved in it at all. What is permissible, says in the Shulchan, we'll close with this, is if a person marries a woman or builds a house or has a child and does three business ventures right after those events and they're all successful, you can say it must be because I married the woman. You can say it must be because I built the house. It must be because I had the child. That, you can say it's a simon, but to do divination for futuristic things is off limits. Now, one last nakuda is that there is a notion of asking a child walking on the street, what pasuk are you up to be able to decide whether you're going to do something or not. That might be okay, because the Gemara says in Mabasa Dafi Bezum Bez, nowadays Hashem took away Nevuah, gave it to the Shotim and the Tinokus. So it comes from a child, then maybe it's different. Shmuel used to open up a Sefer Torah, look at the Pasuk. That might be a similar type thing. But we don't do those things like the Goral HaGra, have you ever heard of? You have to be a tzaddik. I think Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the great Gaon, one of the Gedol Ador, said that his father and his uncle, his father was the stipend of his uncle, Chazanish didn't think they were great enough to engage in Goral HaGra. You know what I mean? To make decisions based on looking up different things in Chumash, how many times you do it, how many psukim. We cannot do any of those things. We have to stick with Amunah B'tochan Hashem, be a Yashur B'tochan Geboro, and be Tamin Im Hashem Elokecha. Yes, Yehudu.
I wanted to ask before, like, if a guy plays for a baseball team and has, like, you know, his things he does before the game, would that be...
Yes, I believe it's superstition. According to the Rambam, it might be Avodah Zarah. No, stretches are fine, practical.
The guy only needs to go on before.
No, that's Meshuggah. It's superstition.
That's not going to help.
According to the Rambam, it might be Yarav LaYavor. Okay, everybody have a good day, guys. Okay?